I had a message on my heart this morning that I really feel that I want to get into, because over the years I've benefited from this particular subject, thinking about it, and it challenges you when you think about this subject on a day-to-day basis, but how important it is. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. And Father, the things I want to share with your wonderful people today, may they get a hold of it, may they grasp it, and may they be instructed to be a doer of it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, first of all, open up to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The word trespasses, when it's used in one verse like this, and sins, plural, means acts and deeds. When you find it in one verse like this, it gives a different meaning to these particular words. First of all, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. The word trespasses here, when it's found in the same word, literally means an error of wrongdoing unbeknowing to you. It means a transgression of ignorance on your part, but it did offend or affect someone else. So when it's used in the same message as the word sins, it would indicate that each one has a specific meaning. And this particular trespasses here means that you've trespassed into other areas of your life that you didn't intentionally do, but they were more out of ignorance, not knowing. And then the reason we know that term is because the next word, and sins. Literally, it means the acts and deeds that were deliberate. You deliberately sinned in other people's lives. And so that's the meaning of both of these. Now notice what it goes on to say. In which you once walked according to the age of this cosmos or system, according to the prince of the power of the air. The word prince of the power of the air, that's a small p for the word prince, and he's talking about a ruler that was assigned to a specific region. And then he says of the air, and this is the word where it means around the earth. There's a government structure going on around this earth as long as Lucifer is the god of this world. And notice what he goes on to say. He says, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Actually, it's the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. This word here for mind is literally talking about a thinking through of something. It means something that you meditate on until you see it clearly within you to perform it. And so then you do it. Then he goes on to say, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. By grace we have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Good news. Now, when we read this, a lot of us don't realize what's really involved here. In the first half of this, he talks about Really, whether you realize it or not, you were by nature children of wrath. You were making choices and doing things out of your life without Him. But when He calls you, things change. Or they should. Amen. And so what am I getting at? Well, my message today is one of those oh me messages that we all need to hear. And that is the term choices. Isn't that cool? I'm going to talk about what happens in choices. I know it's Labor Day weekend. You guys would like to go right now. But listen, hear me out and hear me through. I never realized how vulnerable I was to the subject of choices. And choices are a very important thing for us to get a hold of. Now, did you know that when God calls things that be not as though they were, there's a purpose for it. And it's a call for you to make a choice. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what is important about choices? Well, my dear friend, Harold, got up here a couple of weeks ago and gave a testimony. He was no longer going to be a victim of that which is compulsory. In other words, something you're forced into doing. But he wanted the freedom to make his choices. Boy, that sparked something off in the inside of me. And I said to myself, you know, Father, I am right where I'm at because of what I chose to do once I became a believer. Now, God can put a calling on your life, but it's up to you to choose the right avenue through which you meet that calling. I'm going to share something with you. You know, I've learned something about success in this natural life. Success in this natural life doesn't tell you the real man until you know the means by which he succeeded in this life. And I've found that just because he's called a successful man doesn't necessarily tell us the man himself, how he succeeded in what he's doing. I remember a bunch of ministers got on the bandwagon, and I never do that. And you guys will testify to it too. I never take a successful businessman of the world and use him as an achieving point for our life. Because it's outside the spectrum of the church. And I don't know whether you guys realize it or not, but you know, everybody got on the bandwagon of how Enron, you know, and Christian took that thought of Enron, that company, and used it to motivate them towards success in life. And I'll tell you, I don't find in my Bible any place there called Enron. And so I never picked up the subject of it, even when it was very popular for believers, gravitating other believers to be successful like this particular individual in Enron. But it was real funny. I never got a real witness in my spirit with this guy. You know, and so when I don't get a good witness in my spirit with a particular individual, I leave it alone. Because God doesn't go running around gossiping about everybody. He just gives you that little check not to go in that direction. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know everything else. But I've learned one thing with God. If He gives you a little check, give it some time. Because time will always bring forth the hidden things that you cannot see, meaning darkness. And what happened? The guy came to the forefront. He was a thief. He was a liar. He was a stealer. He is a con man to the highest degree. And he fooled the whole world into this system. And then, of course, everyone that was around me that was using an example, it just fell off. Nobody said anything afterwards. You know. And so I've learned you can cry out to be a success in life, but how you get there is important. Because how you get there, it's either by character or by con. And so I don't go by the examples of other people in life. I go by this one example which makes any believer successful in this life. You can sit there and you can wear rags, but if you love the Lord Jesus and you're worshiping Him, and I've seen that, And God can communicate with this person wearing rags. God won't leave him in his rags. But I'll tell you what, he's just as successful as some guy who says, hey, follow my example for success. Because he's on his road to a whole different way of living. Hallelujah. You know, I drive up to these guys on the corner, you know, they're asking for money, and they have a sign there, you know, and God bless. And I got to think, well, he doesn't have a right to use God to bless me with. But I drove up there, oh, it's been a few weeks ago, and there's a guy who had a different sign. And I respected that sign so much that I gave him some money. But I usually don't give them money because they are where they are because of the way they think. Right. But you know what this guy had on his sign? He said, if you give me a buck, I'll wash your car windows. Did you get that one? And so I pulled up next to him and I had my money in hand. And I says, how are you going to find time to wash my windows for a buck? And he said, if you pull right over into Denny's restaurant, I'll come right over there and I'll wash your windows. I said, how about if I just give you the money and thank you for being willing to wash my windows? And he said, well, whatever. I said, but at least you're willing to work for what you're begging for. You know, so I was impressed by that. So I blessed him. And sure enough, he caught my eye when I drove up again another day. And so I blessed him again. Anyway, I told him, I says, now you owe me two window washings. But a lot of us don't realize how important it is in life to make choices in our life, to make right ones. And especially when you're a young person in life, you know, a lot of times we're looking for freedom. We're looking to get out from under our parents and to have our own say-so in life. But just the fact that you're looking to get out from under authority is not a good sign. Because first of all, if you want to have the right choices in your life, what really helps is to have the right mentors in your life to show you what it means to make the right choices. You know, I can't help think of Adam and Eve. They had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, but you know also they had the tree of life there. Now, some people read it was Christ, but when I studied the Hebrew there for quite extensively, it was a literal tree that was given for food to sustain the physical body to live with the spirit forever. And so it was a literal tree. That tree had to be cursed by God so that they would not live forever in their physical being with a fallen nature within it. And so Adam and Eve had the choice of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what happened was after the fall, God approached them and they hid from the Lord because they knew that they were naked. And of course, you know, the old story goes, let's pass the buck. That's usually when men do not take their place of authority and they choose the wrong choice in their life and it affects others right away. If they're not willing to change within themselves, they want to pass the buck. And of course, you ladies, you know what Adam did. He said, the woman whom you gave me, God, it was the woman that made me do it. That won't work in my house, will it, Sue? No, it won't. Amen. But anyway, how many know that God spoke with his voice to Adam? And he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so right away, the woman was deceived by the adversary and took of the tree and gave to her husband, and he did eat with her. So then when God comes down and has discovered the transgression, Adam wants to pass off the responsibility on the woman. And of course, the woman wants to put the responsibility on the one who deceived her. But did you know that when God began to pronounce the judgment that they would occur from their choice or their decision, he didn't care what the devil said to Adam. He was concerned of the fact that Adam listened to the voice of his wife. He chose to listen to his wife's voice over God's. And as a result, what happened? Well, the sin nature entered the world, the system of this world. And that sin nature is what actually occupies our natural being, our flesh, even to this day. But there was a consequence to the choice that he made. So when we make some choices in our life, we got to be careful how we make those choices. And if we make them always independent of the advice of others that are sound in the choices that they make, then and stay independent, then what happens? You're going to make some wrong choices in your life because we're prone to do that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's turn there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 30, way back in the Old Testament there. Hallelujah. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's go to verse 19. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So he's telling us something there. He says even our descendants would live through the choices that we make. You know, it's sad, but you see a lot of people now that cannot handle themselves mentally. They're mentally depressed. They're suicidal. They go through all kinds of issues in their life unchecked. And as a result of it, they end up either taking their own life or taking others with them because they don't want to go alone. Which what they found out was some of the people who took their own life after taking many others. They came up with that decision. And it shows me something that the generation down through time did not be the witness or example of the choices that they made so that they would be a mentor to those who make choices. Now, in Isaiah chapter 18, they talked about generational things, generational curses. But you know how God views things? He views things towards the responsibility of each and every individual person. Even if you have a reflection of somebody in your life who makes wrong choices, still God holds you personally accountable for the choices that you make, not what you see somebody else make. How many times in our conversation that we try to justify another man's position of error through another person's position of error? We should not do that because that error is not a standard for anybody. It's still a wrong choice. Are you guys following what I'm saying? And so when just because people make choices of error, it doesn't validate when somebody else makes a choice of error. We should deal with each and every individual of what they choose to do or to not do. Amen? Now, there's probably something that many of us don't think about, but did you know that Moses wrote this? Wrote this passage? If you will, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the New Testament. And let's read about the man who wrote this, if you will choose. You know, it's funny how people that are called by God, how there's a purpose why God calls them. And I call it because they know how to make right choices. You know, Abraham, you know, he wanted kids. He wanted a family. He wanted descendants. So did God. And so, you know, one of the reasons why he picked Abraham? Because Abraham knew how to work with his family. He knew how to make things right. If God got into his life and took God's advice, God knew Abraham would take him above his wife. But it wasn't that way to begin with. Sarah was Sarai, which means a woman of contention. She was a controller. Whatever she told Abram, which is Abraham, he would do it. And you know, we talk about Isis being our problem, but actually it really goes back to Sarai convincing Abraham to have Ishmael. Which we come up in the Middle East right now because of those choices. And so as a result of that, we've got the wrong choice occupying the descendants of mankind today, so to speak. But evidently, there was something in Abraham that once the will of God got into his heart, he was able to become the spokesman for his family. He says, "For I know Abraham, and I know that he will control his family." And so he got into his right place, fitting. And so did Sarai. She became Sarah, and she came submitted to her husband, and they had Isaac. And as a result of it, we become blessed. But notice here in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's go to verse 24 and read some wonderful things about Moses. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Hallelujah. And so we see that even Moses himself did something. He made a choice, and he chose to what they said right here in the book of Hebrews. He chose to be a reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know, when I first got saved, my heart wasn't in that place. Matter of fact, I was kind of quiet and secretive that I was a believer. When I'm talking about when I was first saved. And then my friends wanted to go and do the things we used to do. And I didn't really know how to tell them no, but eventually I did. And then they were shocked. They didn't believe me, you know, that I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. What the heck are you talking about? Matter of fact, when I was first saved, I actually went into a bar to get a hold of my sister, my half-sister, and looked for her there, and she was working. So I sat down at the table, and all my friends were still hopping in bars. They were sitting there, and I ordered tomato juice. And they were all looking at me, and finally, Tom Dyke, he was a TD, we called him. He's looking at me, and he's looking at the tomato juice. And after I finished the tomato juice, I ordered a Diet Pepsi. And he looks at that. He looked over and leaned over to me and said, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You got stomach problems? You got an ulcer?" I said, "No." I says, "I'm waiting for my sister to get off so I can talk to her about the Lord." And he goes, "About the who?" And I said, "About the Lord." He said, "What do you want to talk to her about the Lord for?" He says, "Ask me." And I says, "I ain't going to ask you, TD." And he says, "Why?" I says, "You don't have what I want to know." You know. And he goes, "Why?" He says, "You think the Lord doesn't want me?" And I said, "I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I just wanted to talk to her about it." And so, but it was just the way he reacted. He was looking at him drinking. "Well, you got an ulcer or something?" So they look at you as strange because you all of a sudden you make different choices. You know, you're not running around the streets with them like you used to do. You're just a different person. And they can't understand that. Matter of fact, Sonny, Sue's oldest sister, when she gave her heart to the Lord, we were in the bar in there, me and Sue, and I said, "Where's Sunny?" And so I found her out in this restaurant that she worked at over there in the North End, and she was out there looking up in the sky, you know, and I walked up to her, and I said, "Sunny, why are you not in there?" And she says, "I'm just out here with my Lord." And I said, "With your who?" And she says, "With my Lord." And I said, "Well, where is he?" And I got to think to myself at that time, well, there's not much company running around with him. You know, that's what I was thinking, you know. But she was different. Sue and I could tell she was a different person. She was so different, I couldn't believe it. She was different as night and day. And that's, well, that's one of the reasons why she said she was going to get water baptized in that Baptist church downtown, you know. And I said, man, is she going that far? She must be serious. And so I happened to go to her water baptismal service. And it was on an Easter Sunday, and they had a pre-service water baptismal. I'll never forget seeing her going up there. And I looked at her, and I said, man, this girl is real. I mean, she's really following through with this. But I didn't really think that she was making choices I was not accustomed to. You follow what I'm saying? She was making choices I was not accustomed to, and definitely was not making myself at that time. But after that sermon, I went down and gave my heart to the Lord. And then I began to understand where she was coming from. But it takes the new birth to do that. Now, if you will, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, he makes a statement that's very interesting. In James chapter 1, let's go to verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that one will be blessed in what he does. When I read that, I never understood the law of liberty at the first time I read that. But it says he will be blessed in whatever he puts his hand to. And I got to thinking, now how is he going to be blessed by looking into the perfect law of liberty? Let me tell you something. There can be no true obedience unless there is a freedom to disobey. Did you know Adam and Eve? They were not stopped by God on the way to eating of that tree. God didn't hinder them. God told him that in the day that you eat of that tree, dying, thou shalt die. So there was a moment in his time, his life, when he made a choice. And that choice was to hear what his wife had to say. You know what? God will reveal his will to you. When I was first saved, God began to reveal his will to me through different people, you know, different ones preaching sermons. But I didn't really catch it, but I always had another voice that gave me an option. And so I was always faced with a choice. Am I going to choose to go with what the Word says, or am I going to choose to receive the information afterwards? You know, I've found that when you receive revelation from God, choose right away to stay with that. Stick with it. Like Harvey, he had the choice. He could have stayed home. Now that your wife told on you and gave up. You know, I just think I'll just stay home. And now she's sitting there praising God and flipping out because you made a choice to come to church and now your back's okay. Evidently, or you wouldn't be jumping and shouting and... So, it was a choice you made today. Absolutely, it was a choice he made. And it was the right one. And I knew what he could do. Yes. But isn't that funny how that flesh takes over momentarily? Yeah, he wanted you to sit home and... Yeah. So, there can be no true obedience unless there is a freedom to disobey. We've seen that even in Moses' life, in Abram's. Every step of growth in the Lord is based on the right choice you make. You want me to say that again? Every step of growth in the Lord is based on the right choice you make today. And see, we don't think that way. We don't think choice today. We don't think when we get up, now I got to make right choices today. We just get up and we know what we have to do. But every one of us on a daily basis choose. We make choices. Whether they're good or they're bad, nevertheless, there's a choice that you will make. You will make a choice of what kind of coffee you will drink. You will make a choice where you're going to go to buy that coffee. You'll make a choice of the attitude that you have today. If you're not in a good mood, then you're going to choose to have a rotten one. Amen? So all of it comes up with choices. Now, I thought about this, and it really bothered me, about sovereignty teaching. And, you know, I followed through and observed people who are strong in this sovereignty concept teaching that can be very dangerous. And a lot of us don't realize what that means. Because the way that you get anywhere with God is to be humble. Amen? And some sovereignty people seem to think that allowing God to be sovereign in their life, it is a position of humility, when it is not. When you think about people who cling to the sovereignty teaching are people who are not submitting themselves to God. Because they're making Him responsible for all their choices. And then God will teach them through the choice that He has chosen them to choose. People, that's called nutcase. Insanity. Because you cannot develop yourself that way. Because a lot of times, whether we realize it or not, tragedy in our life might not be a good thing for us. It might be a more crippling or more damaging thing for us. And so God has to keep us in a position where we choose the right things. If the responsibility of Him in sovereignty makes all the choices for our life, then we, if we believe in that, we're escaping our responsibility. We're putting it back off on God, and therefore God is responsible to make sure that we are eternally secured. People, the Bible don't support that. Is there such a thing as sovereignty of God? Yes, there is. There are some things that are very sovereign in God's mind. One of them is the catching away of the church in the end time. But the reason that that's advantageous to us is because if it was up to us to qualify to go there, we're in trouble. So there are some things that God is sovereign in to make sure that His will is performed in the earth for the benefit of the church, never for the disadvantage of the church. And so when you look at sovereignty teaching as a forms of copping out on your responsibility and putting it back on God, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not able to grow. Now, again, ultimately, God is responsible for their choices. The key to choice, and you might want to write this down, the key to choice is the surrender of a person's will. When you talk about choices, you got to realize the key to choices is when a person surrenders his will to that. If it's a bad choice, he gave his will to that. If it's a good choice, it's because he gave his will to that. So we don't think choices as an amplification of our will. Have you ever thought of it? There's another thing you have to take into account about choices. Choices come with consequences. You know, I never realized how bound up I was by not realizing the consequences of some of the things I chose to do. And when you make the wrong choices, they'll bind you up. Guess what? You become more compulsory than being led. And so a lot of people struggle to be led of the Spirit. It's because their choices have been very compulsory. In other words, forced on them by the wrong choices that they've made. Anybody got a pen here we can drop on the floor? You guys are awful quiet. Because this really comes down into every one of our back alley. Amen? So, I always tell people, if you're forced into doing something that you don't want to do, that is a strike against you, not for you. See, the important thing about a believer is not where he goes when he is compelled to go, but where he goes when he is free to go where he wills. Hello? When he's free to go where he wills. To be counted faithful is a person whose life is not controlled by compulsion, what he's forced to do, but a revealing of character achievement. His choices reveal what kind of man he is. Choices always do. The true character of a person is revealed and in the uses it makes of its freedom. That's why you were called to the perfect law of liberty. I have become a love slave for God, but in that love slave, God turned around and gave me the freedom to serve Him. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have the freedom to make the choices that is according to His will and not mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, that's a good thing to have. Amen. How many of you have said to yourself, oh, man, if only then I could do for God. If only this I could do for God. Well, if only is the choices that you made that keep you from doing what God wills you to do. You ever thought about that? I have when it came out of my mouth. You know what? I'm teaching you guys. It's because I learned myself. And I'm still learning. Praise God. And so, a slave is not free to do his will unless he's free to voluntarily choose to do it. You know, back in Jesus' day, they had what you call slaves of every woman's household. And they'd serve a certain amount of time. And then after serving that time, they were freed, and he said he bore my ear out because some servants said, I know you've given me my freedom, so they would bore their ear out and they would have a hole in it. And so whenever he went into the marketplace, he was assigned to the economy that he is a slave, but he's free to serve the master he's working for. And he was also eligible to handle his money affairs, everything, because he was found faithful. And he didn't want to just go his way. He wanted to stay in his master's house and serve him. Hallelujah. In freedom. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Lord wants it with us. He wants you to serve him in freedom. Hallelujah. But in order for you to do that, you have to change the way you think. You have to change the way you think about your master. You have to change the way you think about your life that's ahead of you. And here's another thing. The Holy Spirit made me. The Holy Spirit does not make anyone do anything. And the Holy Spirit does not help you to make your choices. The Holy Spirit can only show you what choice you should make, but it's still up to you to make that choice. It's not going to be the Holy Ghost, or else you can sit there and say, well, the Holy Spirit made me do this, God. You ain't going to use that stuff. You know, we're called the Wolf Church. Have you guys ever heard that term? I just heard it recently. Oh, you're one of them wolf churches. Yes, I am a wolf church. It starts with wisdom, and it starts with understanding, and it goes to faith. Then to faithfulness. That is spelt wolf. W-U-F-F. We are a wolf church. Amen? We started out with wisdom. We went to understanding. We went to faith. And then faithfulness. Yes, I'm a wolf church. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's just your terminology that you hold to one interpretation, I hold to another. You interpret it W-O-L-F. I don't want to give the interpretation to that one anyway. And what follows a wolf church is responsibility and authority. Because if you cover wisdom and understanding and faith, which leads to faithfulness, then God will give you more responsibility and more authority. Because you have the ability to make choices. And good ones. Do you know that the Bible says in Romans 8:14 that it's mature people that are led by the Spirit of God? Mature people are led. They are led. Why? Because they know how to make the right choices. Why? Because they mature themselves. They grow up in the things of God. I said, because the only way that you and I will really be a success and a blessing in life is to choose you this day. What you're going to do. And I'll tell you what, you know, if you want to really be successful in the choices you make, think about the consequences. When I first got into ministry, when I did anything wrong, it was reported. And I got to thinking, that's none of their business. Remember that, Sue? Well, that makes me think I can't get close to nobody in the church to be myself. Until finally God one day said, yeah, that's true. Sometimes you have to make choices that you don't feel you have a right to. Well, choices also means, should I say the word or should I spell it? Well, I'll just say it. Sometimes you have to sacrifice in making the right choices. Oh, I know that's dirty language. I know. It doesn't allow us our freedom. You know, if you think about it, just think about this. If you ever read Proverbs, it says, wisdom cries out in the streets. It's called a principle. 58 times, I think, it's mentioned in Proverbs. Did you know 58 times it's mentioned understanding? It said, along with wisdom getteth understanding. And when you look up the term for understanding, it literally means that which stabilizes. And when I got to thinking about the wisdom, understanding, did you know that in the book of Proverbs, out of 58 times for the word wisdom, it's 58 times for the word understanding? And I looked at that, I couldn't believe it, that the word understanding always comes after the word wisdom. I found a couple of times in Proverbs where it found wisdom or understanding before wisdom, but it really was still behind wisdom, because where it was found, it meant the understanding was there because wisdom was there first. You follow? But nevertheless, every word for understanding followed the word wisdom. And the word understanding literally means to establish the heart. And God said the reason we have so many religions in the world is because people have got the principles of the wisdom and yet don't have the understanding of what those principles are about. And that's why you can even have the wisdom of Christ. But if you don't understand why he gave you those principles, then your heart will not be established on the wisdom, because you will fluctuate. You will change your principles. Principles can change, but understanding cannot. So when you understand the principles of wisdom, then your heart will stabilize itself, because understanding is what gives you why the principles were put there. Yes. Did you know that a wisdom of God is Christ? So if you choose Christ, you know what that means? It's one thing to choose him, but do you really understand why you chose him? And when you get the understanding of why you should choose him, that will keep you in him. Because you know, if you do not choose him, he is the only way. Because broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I mean. So understanding, and I never saw this before until I found it in Proverbs, understanding really comes with the concept of choice. I rest my case. Did you guys get something here this morning? Did you really get something here? So when you think about making choices. Ask yourself, am I free to make this choice or am I compulsed to do it? Am I forced to do it? Because you see, if every choice you make in life is because you were forced into position to make it, then you better start checking up on the choices you're making. Because you're making choices that are becoming really your bondage rather than your freedom. You see, a lot of us don't realize the importance of that. I like to think that when I make a choice, it's for the benefit of my freedom. You know, people who cannot make the right choices with money become a slave to it. And then they're not free to do what they want in God. Why? They're strapped. Listen, if you cannot work things out in your life financially, then the money will tell you when you can go to church and when you can't. The money will tell you whether you're going to give to the kingdom of God or not. Because of your choices. Ladies, I hate to tell you this, but a credit card in Tacoma Mall should be off bounds to your thinking. Unless you possess your credit card and learn to own the mall. Father, I thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you that this is not the shouting, jumping kind, but Father, this is a growing kind. Hallelujah. And we know the anointing was here to make us grow, Father, in you. Hallelujah. We love you so much. And Father, many of us had made wrong choices. Many of us had made choices that we've ate the fruit of it and wish we hadn't. Hallelujah. Father, I'm not going to, even God said, you'll never use this proverb again, that the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Father, we are going to be individual choice makers according to the will of God and not by the circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for the freedom and the liberty you have given your church. Father, that we have the freedom to choose, and to choose life and choose it abundantly. Father, we know that it's according to the revelation of your will that that freedom is expressed. Father, this morning, if there's anybody that has not given their heart and life to the Lord, they need to do so to enter into the freedom of the choice they have for eternity. And Father, if they have been born again, but they feel dominated by the outer man and the works, Father, and the prisoner that they feel they are because of other people. They're free from other people. They're free from that entrapment. They just need to know it. So, Father, if they want to serve life more abundantly, we're going to give them a chance to start fresh this morning in restoration of walking with you. Hallelujah. And, Father, if they desire the fullness of the Spirit, it's here for them. And so with that being said, with every head bowed, if you want salvation, restoration, and infilling of the Spirit, feel free to come up right now. Anybody? Anybody have that freedom to do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's see what the Word has done for you this morning. Pastor, I've made some wrong choices in my life. And some of them I have to make now are compulsory. But I want them changed. If that's you, then you need to come up today and let me pray with you. That God will build a sensitivity in you. And showing you how to be led of Him. To get out of this situation that you might have chosen to get yourself into. We serve a wonderful Lord. Amen. And a gracious Lord. and a merciful person. And He can lead you a little at a time. But He wants you to learn to trust Him and not others. And so if you're here today and you heard this message and say, I want to be free of the choices that I've made, would you step out and come forward here this morning? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Feel free to do that, Ryan. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what people think. If you're going to allow yourself not to come forward because of somebody else, what they might think, you're already in trouble. Hallelujah. But you need to come forward and let us pray with you. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm in the same boat on this altar call. There's some choices I made here recently I wish I hadn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to get set free from these choices that we've made. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when you start being the captain of your own ship, you're going to find out how much your natural man is in rebellion to the will of God. Hallelujah. Because it might not always want to go where your choices are. I'm learning them, though. Praise God. I am. I am, Sue. Okay. Church, I want you to pray with me. I know we're running a little long, but we don't have service tonight, right? Right? So can you guys grace us a little bit here? Make the right choice, okay? Father, may these people have a wonderful Labor Days. And Father, we just know that every week that goes by, we can trust and depend upon You, my Lord Jesus, to strengthen my people even more than they are today. Strengthen them. Cause them to succeed in life. Amen and amen. You can go home.